state which will live in infamy.
Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment.
So, Dave, I can tell you're pretty relaxed, you're pretty calm, just a normal day, nothing's happening, everyone's just chilling out, relaxing on the beach, no stresses in the world.
This is the most low-stakes day of my life. I mean, just so relaxed.
I can tell the way you've been pacing through the house for the past hour.
Oh,
I think you yelled at Chuck Todd.
I did yell at Chuck Todd, my favorite correspondent. I actually got mad at him. They put an infographic on, like, election update from Georgia, 0-0 with 0% precincts reporting with an infographic and map. I'm like, thanks for the update.
Yeah, he yelled at Chuck Todd.
I did yell
at Chuck. The Toddster.
The Toddster.
Wow. All right, well, welcome to FDR's Wheelchair.
Hey there, everybody.
This is going to be a very, very different episode to what you're used to. It is Election Day, so we are having a Facebook Live tonight.
Oh, yeah.
9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern Time. We're going to be watching the election as it unfolds in its either
entirety or until we fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or
that could very much happen, or until we break the TV with the chairs.
We have no idea how the night's going to unfold. The good news is, during this episode, we're really not going to know the outcome of the election yet, so it's going to be a little
there's no spoilers.
Ex post facto episode. Yeah, there's no spoilers. By the time you listen to this, you will either be, well, if you're listening to us, you're probably going to be tying the noose.
We're also going to have another factor on our show, which can be completely different. We're going PG.
PG.
Yeah.
PG refers to media that doesn't have bad things in it, like cussing and other bad things.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Oh, well, who's in charge of that? I can cut.
No, we haven't gone PG yet. Loser.
We haven't gone PG yet. Yeah. That's true.
Yes, I can say it. So we're both in charge of each other. We're going to trust each other, and we're going to hold each other accountable.
Yes.
And the reason we're going PG is we're going to explain the history of voting.
To school children.
Please don't call the cops.
In Nebraska. Yes. And why would we be teaching the history of voting to school children in Nebraska?
Why wouldn't we?
I don't know.
So my mom actually it was my idea of being a little more educational.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to play it to her kids in Nebraska. She's a teacher, so she's going to play it to them. I thought,
what are her post firing plans?
I got a spare room here.
Okay.
But I'll probably build a shed in the yard.
A shed? She shed.
A she shed.
Oh, hey. Donna, are you listening to this?
It may or may not have heating, so we'll see.
Donna, you can stay with me. This doesn't sound like a good idea. You probably will like me better anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So we're going to explain the history of voting, PG.
PG, yeah.
For about 10-15 minutes. If you guys, any of you listeners, want to be able to teach school children about the history of voting, we'll let you know when we're about to start. Do not start before.
Right, we'll tell you the exact minute. We'll tell you
the end.
Yes.
And do not let it go over.
Right. Or don't.
Or just skip the idea altogether.
Look at another resource.
It's up to you.
And what we're going to try to do too, to be legit, we're going to do it without editing, hopefully.
Yeah.
So we're not going to slip up. We're going to get through this motherfucker without saying that.
Yeah, because editing is doesn't happen to any of our other episodes either. So
no.
So we're used to that. So fuck.
Fuck.
Shit.
All right. You got it out of you, bud?
No, but I think we can get through this.
All right. Let's do it, man.
All right. So we're going to count down because you need to get this on the fucking money.
All right. So we're going to start at five. Ready?
Yep.
Five, four, three, two, one.
All right. We're PG now. Okay. And we are talking about the history of voting.
Yes.
Bienvenidos, FDR's wheelchair. Soy Brandon.
Soy Dave.
And that's all the Spanish we know.
Absolutely.
Surprised I got through that.
Exactly. Successfully.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
They're probably laughing right now.
Right, exactly. So I guess we got some special listeners today, don't we?
We do. So usually we have an adult audience, but we have a younger audience now. So we're going to explain a little bit about the history of voting within 10 to 15 minutes, Dave. So,
within 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah. Okay. You kids ready out there
just
to get educated?
Just put the phone down for a second. You know, it's okay. Facebook will be there. It'll be there.
Did you tell the kids to put down Facebook? Kids, y'all ain't on Facebook. Right?
Whatever.
Not Facebook. You just aged yourself.
Oh.
Yeah. Fine. Kids these days ain't on the Facebook.
What are they on?
They're on the TikTok and the Snapchat and the Instagram.
Isn't TikTok banned?
No.
Oh.
Nope. You got TikTok.
Is that another lie Trump told?
It could be. But we remain unbiased because this is educational programming.
Educational, whatever.
Just like PBS.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just put them all to sleep now.
NPR for kids. The history of voting in the United States.
Brought to you by Brandon and Dave.
Yes.
Please put your pillows on your desk now.
Yes. 2 out of the 10 minutes of this lesson has already been wasted on us talking. All right. So, Brandon, you are going to start talking a little bit about the history of voting, like ancient times,
yes,
right? Because these students are learning about ancient Greece and ancient Rome and
absolutely
all that fun stuff.
And I promise you guys, I will get on Zoom at some point. I'm trying to organize it, but we'll have a Zoom class.
Very fun.
So voting originally started in about 500 BC in Athens, ancient Greece. Oh, I'm sorry, BCE.
Before Common Era. Common Era. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
However, there were stipulations. Not everybody could vote. You had to be a citizen to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And citizenship could vary widely. I mean, it could be about how much money you had, who you knew, how much land you had, how many slaves you owned, things like that. There was a lot that went into it. So most people in ancient Greece could not vote. Most people in ancient Greece were not citizens. You could gain your citizenship through military service, through political service, through buying it.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally pay for it. Nobility tended to be citizens through birth. So it really wasn't a democracy how we know it now, where being part of the country means you are part of the citizenship, part mm-hmm. of the voting class. Then it kind of died a little bit for a long, long time. And you'd have slight democracies that would rise here and there, but you never really had a true democracy. It was really run by kings, pharaohs,
mm-hmm.
Emperors, things like that.
Could you say at least the idea was planted?
The idea
of democracy.
Okay. And Rome really tried to carry it forward. However, they overthrew their own monarchy and became a republic. And again, it was very limited who could vote. And then mm-hmm. it was overthrown by Julius Caesar, by him seizing power and starting the Roman Empire. And you don't really have a rise of it again for a long, long time, as I said before. And it really became in England, of all places.
Ah, England.
Those fussy yes. little
tea-drinking people.
Yeah. Tea-drinking people.
That was close, by the way.
It was close.
Come on, you can do it.
All right, I got it. When they signed the Magna Carta. Now, King John was a very, very unpopular king.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very unpopular with his nobles. And you have to understand that the nobles were controlled by the king, and they raised his taxes. They raised his army. they did the kind of the
they were the bureaucracy.
They were the bureaucracy, and they did the legwork mm-hmm. of the government so it could function. He decided to make them mad. Didn't end well. So they had a civil war, and you had some of the nobles going with the king, but more just outright rebelled. And they forced him mm-hmm. to sign a document called the Magna Carta.
Ah, 1215, yep. Magna Carta.
Yep, literally in a field. They drug him out after a battle and said, you are signing this. Now, again, this didn't guarantee citizenship, mm-hmm. voting rights, or anything. But it was the first document that limited the power of a king.
And gave some power to the parliament.
And gave a, yes, mm-hmm. gave some power to the parliament. And before you start dozing off, let me tell you why that's important. Come on.
Put your phone down. Put your phone down.
I see you. Get up. All right. So a king had all authoritative power. So he, like, whatever he said went, and it didn't matter if you disagreed, agreed. It didn't matter. It was the king's rule. And that, I mean, he ordered you to make you a peanut butter jelly sandwich. You'd have to make him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because he's the king. What the Magna Carta did was gave restrictions to his power and gave power to other forms of government like the nobility.
Now hold on a second, this is very informational, Mr. Ziegler. However, this peanut butter sandwich idea, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you telling me if I'm king, people will make me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and bring them to me?
Not you.
Oh man, I was starting to get excited about monarchy.
This is after the Magna Carta.
After the Magna Carta,
your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as a king are gone.
Bummer.
So you have a limit on the king. You have other people that can impose their will on mm-hmm. the king. So it's a basis of what we now call the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And before that, it had never really been seen. So we're going to go through history.
Yep.
We're going to have the French Revolution, where they pretty much did the same thing to their king.
Only a little more violently.
He didn't have a head afterwards.
No.
And neither did a lot of people. You know, shishing.
Right.
He wanted a croissant and peanut butter. And they said, no. So you had that revolution, and that really inspired the American Revolution, and that's a whole different podcast. You can request that if you want, but again, wake up.
Yes, it's almost lunch. Now you got to suffer a little bit more through. Right. All right, so fast forward to the colonies and the United States of America.
Yeah.
All right, and again, like the Magna Carta and the English Bill of Rights, and there's a bunch of old things that happened in England that, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Right.
That kind of leads to what was happening in the colonies. Now the colonies.
Where are we? We're in the colonies.
Now the colony, we're in the colonies, it's magical, it's the late 1600s, it's the early 1700s.
When has the colonies ever been described as magical?
Yeah. I don't think the Puritans would describe that as being magical. Well, Salem witch trials.
I was about to say, how many witches have you been to?
All right, back on track, we're instructing children.
Oh,
all right,
sorry, kids.
All right, kids. So the colonies existed for the benefit of England, for the economic profit of England through this thing that you'll probably learn about called mercantilism and the triangular trade. So, as long as the colonies were making money from England, right, they were okay with it. So they let the colonies pretty much govern themselves. So the early days of the colonies in the 1600s and 1700s, for a period of over 150 years, each individual colony was able to govern themselves. They were able to elect governors. They were able to elect assemblies, which is kind of like a legislative body. And it allowed for all property-owning males to vote. Now, back then, there were a lot of people that were excluded from voting. Women, slaves, most African-Americans who were free, a lot of Jews and Catholics, because there was a religious test for voting.
Hey, Dave, I just looked at your TikTok, and
yeah,
you have negative viewers. How do you even have negative? Like, look.
Negative viewers? Yeah. I don't even have a TikTok.
Yeah, you do. It's right here. And it's
gotcha.
Negative.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Bummer.
Go ahead.
All right. So, we're in the colonies, and they are able to govern themselves and pretty much do their own thing. So, when the parliament decides that the colonies aren't making enough money. They start passing a lot of laws to, prohibit the colonies from governing themselves. So the American Revolution happened, and this tradition of the states used to be the colonies, okay? So once the American Revolution was over, the 13 colonies become the 13 states because we have the United States of America. The states are left to decide rules for elections. So in the early days of the United States, it was pretty much the same rule. You had to own land. You had to be free. You couldn't be a female. The age requirement back then was 21 years old. And the doc.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you want me to pull up our notes because we can't do this from the top of our head.
I've already forgot something, and I want to see something that's on there real quick.
Right, I gotcha.
Gotcha.
Sorry, kids.
So the Constitution, gave the state specific authority to decide voting requirements and elections. It wasn't nationalized. That's the key I want you to understand. The United States has this long history of not nationalizing elections. That's why tonight, on election night, you see a map lighting up with the Electoral College and individual states having their own elections. Well, with that, they were able to make their own rules. So they were able to exclude a lot of people from that process. So as time's gone on, voting rights has expanded. Okay, it's gotten bigger, not smaller. And each time the right to vote has expanded, there have been people and systems that try to repress that vote. And in a way, we're kind of going through that right now. So what I'm going to give you guys right now is a real quick summary of how that changed. So keep in the back of your mind that the states could create their own election laws, and pretty much you had to be a white male property owner in order to vote. This changes a lot in 1828 with the election of Andrew Jackson, because most state legislatures who made the laws by then, they got rid of the requirement to own land as part of being able to vote. So that included a lot more people. So the percentage of the population that actually voted went from about 15% to about 40%, which was huge back then.
Yeah, that's like 10 people.
It's like 10 people. So now, that's really the only good thing I have to say about Andrew Jackson getting elected as president.
It really is.
But he was kind of like the first common man president. He's the first person to come from, poverty. He wasn't born wealthy with a silver spoon in his mouth.
He was very angry, though.
Oh, he was an angry. He was an angry guy.
Angry guy.
Yes. Just ask the slaves and the Native Americans in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
To begin with.
Ask
there.
Mrs. Ziegler about that.
Mrs. Ziegler. You're just sitting there flipping on your TikTok right now while we're teaching your class. All right. Okay, so real quick, fast forward, because I know we said 15 minutes at the max, but we're cruising past that. So Civil War in the middle of the 1800s, and the Civil War is over in 1865. And after the Civil War is over and slavery is ended with the Emancipation Proclamation, but the 13th Amendment, a series of civil rights amendments were passed. And the last one in 1869 was the 15th Amendment, which expanded the right to vote to all males, regardless of race or previous servitude. So that was an amendment that applied to all the states. So they could not pass a law that says you have to be white to vote anymore. Okay? Sounds fine and dandy. However, a lot of the states in the South that were controlled by a bunch of racists.
Very.
Yes, created a system of laws that didn't say you couldn't vote based upon your race, but it really created that situation. And there were three laws. One was the poll tax, which said you had to pay a tax to vote. Most freedmen couldn't afford it. A literacy test saying you had to prove that you could read in order to be able to vote. Most freedmen couldn't do that. And then the kicker, the grandfather clause, that said if your grandfather couldn't vote, you can't vote. Well, guess what? Your grandfather was a slave. So it kind of did like a de facto way of...
And these they were clearly designed to keep certain people out.
Mm-hmm.
Literacy test to keep out people who couldn't learn how to read when they were kids, i.e. slaves. And a poll tax, keep poor people, because you're not making much money when you're descended from slaves. And a grandfather clause, because you're descended from slaves.
Right. So. And if you were white and couldn't pay the poll tax, white and couldn't read,
your church white, would usually pay for it.
Right. White and they had a, couldn't prove that your grandfather voted, either something like that would happen, or they simply let you vote anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a rigged system. And this was in place all the way until pretty much 1965. This is like a 100-year system where African Americans were denied the right to vote.
This was part of the Jim Crow laws.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone talks about the Jim Crow laws, this is where it really starts, and this is the essence of it. So keep that in mind. Jim Crow laws, bad. Jim Crow laws, bad.
And that ruled the South for about a whole 100 years. And then on top of that, intimidation and violence.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd go try to vote. They'd kill you. They'd lynch you.
Think the KKK. Think burning crosses, that kind of thing. This, they were trying to protect the Jim Crow laws, so they saw themselves as patriots, which clearly they are not. But this is where that comes from, is denying people the vote.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. So that's 100 years. So a few things in between then. In 1920, the 20th Amendment's In 1920, the 19th Amendment's passed, which guarantees universal suffrage to women. We were one of the first democracies in the world to pass the right for women to vote. In 1965, that is a key year, is when Congress passed a law called the Voting Rights Act, which got rid of those Jim Crow laws. So basically what it said is that states can't create silly, funny laws that are designed to keep people from voting. And that helped those legal barriers, but to this day still, when it comes to counting absentee ballots, when it comes to mailing in, when it comes to things like that, there's still people that are doing a few things to keep people from voting. And then a few little things too. In 1971, they lowered the voting age to 18. In 1984, they made sure that all polling places were accessible to the elderly and the handicapped. And then finally, in this year, Iowa became the very last state. Isn't Iowa a neighbor there to Nebraska? Looking at a map right now.
Yeah.
So your neighbors in Iowa finally passed a law that says felons who complete their sentences can vote.
Woo!
Woo!
So that's a brief history of voting.
That was fast.
It wasn't that fast. But again, when you become of age, when you are able to vote, remember, this is the strongest tool that you have to change politics. This is when you're yelling at the news, when you're in discussions and you don't agree, and people are telling you that one way is one, but you feel that it shouldn't be, voting really does matter. And if you don't believe me, they wouldn't be trying to take it away from people.
Absolutely. They wouldn't be trying so hard right now to not count votes if it didn't matter.
There wouldn't be Jim Crow laws. There wouldn't be women not allowed to vote. There wouldn't have been only people that own land could vote, because voting matters.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I think we're through with the history of voting.
I think we are through with the history of voting. That was kind of fun, wasn't it, yeah. Ziegler?
Yeah, we got through it. I can't believe we got through it.
We did it. Woohoo!
All right, so teachers, stop it now.
Yes.
Right now. Oh, fuck. Oh, we did it.
Jesus fucking Christ. I am so stressed out right now.
Fuck. Oh, I'm like shaking God, and shit.
What is going to happen? Oh, my God. It is 8:18. The news has me stressed out. I got the TV turned off for right now. Oh, my God. I just want to wake up at like noon tomorrow and like.
Yeah, and just know. And just have it in a landslide, so we don't have to drag this shit out.
I'm really stressed out.
That's all right.
I'm really stressed out.
Did you bring your coloring book?
I did bring my coloring book.
Oh, you did?
Cool. Yep, I did.
Cool. I hope it's fairy blue. I really do hope it's blue.
Oh, man. Guess what, Brandon?
What's that?
We have a very, very, very excited special guest who just called into FDR's wheelchair.
We do?
I just got a notification on my phone, and he called me right away.
Oh, yeah?
And
who is it?
I got some news for you.
What?
Bring, bring.
Hello, this is FDR's wheelchair.
Brandon Ziegler?
Is that you, Mitchie Bear?
Yeah, it is. Oh, hey. Hey, how you doing? Guess what? I guess I know something that you don't know.
Probably.
I'm a winner. It's been called for me.
Already?
I'm a winner. I'm a winner. McGrath is right, nobody. Well,
how many goats are you going to sacrifice today?
How many goats have I said? How many
goats have I said? Well, you got to do it like as like a tip.
Well, the last time I had to wrestle those goats, and I got all kinds of bruises and scrapes on me and stuff, and my eye got all messed up.
Don't talk about Lindsey Graham like that.
Lindsey, we're not going to talk about Lindsey. I've got another term. Let's see if he has another term at the end of the night, bitch.
Yeah, he's probably sweating a little bit.
Hold on. If he loses, I'll be like, ho, I'm Lindsey Graham. I do declare.
Stop making fun of Lindsey.
Okay.
I'll call him, and you can explain why you're making fun of him.
No, please don't.
Okay. Don't threaten me, all right?
Promise. All right, I'm going to go back to my victory party.
Yeah.
Victory party.
Is your victory party above or underground?
Oh, it's in my secret lair, Brandon, where only special majority leaders live.
All right. Is there a coffin?
Yes, there is.
I knew it. All right. Well, we got our first decision of the night.
First decision of the night. Mitch McConnell. That's not a big surprise.
We knew that.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Thunder. That was Justice of Thunder. So if you want to hear more thunder in a real episode, tune into Justice of Thunder.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. It's a really good one. And you get to hear us chant like Catholic priests at the beginning.
Absolutely. More like a Gregorian chant from hell.
Right.
Oh, so
right now we have Mitchie Bear is still there. Indiana's been called for Trump. And that's about all we have.
The hillbilly states have their vote in. Surprise, surprise. But hey, here's the thing. This is the time of reckoning right here. This is what we've been waiting for this whole time. To have the opportunity to vote out the giant orange monster.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is in your hand right fucking now.
And this is really a battle between, you know, fact versus fiction, I think.
Yeah, because what Trump is peddling is fiction. Absolute fiction. I mean, he may tout the economy is probably his most credible thing. But again, stocks do not equal the economy.
Absolutely. They don't equal people. They don't equal jobs.
It doesn't equal jobs. Yes, they're making more money, but are you?
Nope.
Nope. Absolutely. Your inflation rate is... It doesn't even... I'm sorry, I misspoke there. Your wages don't even keep up with inflation, which usually goes from 1.2 to 2% a year. How many of you had a raise of 3% or more?
Not many people that I know. That's for sure.
Yep.
And you know what, out there to our Trump fans out there, or our Republican fans who are not Trump fans.
Hey, guys.
I got some good news for you. If Joe Biden wins, he's actually not that liberal, and he's pretty damn moderate.
He'd make a good Republican.
He could make a decent Republican. And your taxes are not going to go up under his plan, and you're not going to get the Green New Deal, and you're not going to get the alarmist stuff that you've been hearing.
You might even see a decrease in that deficit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if people still believe the Democrats are the party of tax and spend and the Republicans are not, that's a complete and utter joke.
You just look at the numbers. I mean, you don't have to be an accountant to understand that deficit go up, taxes go down means even a bigger deficit.
Absolutely. Yep. And deficit spending's at an all-time high, too.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really the fault of both parties. I'm not faulting the Republicans, but I'm saying they use that tagline for so long, people kind of believe that lie that they don't...
Smaller government,
small
lower
government,
taxes,
and that's not true. It just isn't true.
No, not at all. Know? It just... It's... Republicans haven't been that... In so long, they say smaller government, but they lock you up more than anybody in the fucking world.
Absolutely.
Just remember, in the fucking world, that includes the Middle East, and China. We have more people in jail than the Middle East and China. So they are fucking locking you up.
Literally. Yep. In fact, the incarceration rate has been on an incline. If you look at the graph of the incarceration rate in America from the early 90s all the way to now, it is absolutely insane. And did Joe Biden like sponsor that crime bill? Absolutely. But guess how many?
Did.
Yeah, he did. How many senators voted for it?
All of them.
Every single one of them. You know, so it was a big mistake, but it was a mistake that was made by all.
At least they're recognizing it.
And they're recognizing it now and trying to hopefully pick that apart a little bit. But
you know who tore that that bill apart?
Who?
Newt Gingrich.
Newt
Gingrich. He took all the clemency and the alms from it, and he just gutted it just so he could pick people to spend more time in jail. He took the harsher terms, and he actually increased them.
Yeah.
Because
the whole three strikes and you're out stuff and that.
Yep. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And just increased it.
Yep. Yep.
So you got that. I'm all depressed now.
Don't be depressed, Brandon. Aww. It's okay. It's okay.
It's voting day.
It is voting day. All right. So, obviously, if Joe Biden wins and the Democrats take over the Senate, it'll be total elation. What are your feelings going to be if Biden wins but the Republicans keep control of the Senate?
Well, the Senate's very powerful. I mean, I'll be very happy, but just to get that orange monster out and him saying the things that he says and rallying people, making people think it's okay to be anti-democratic, anti-minority, just pure racist, evil people.
Yeah.
It'd be great to get that dog whistler.
Yeah. The first president in our lifetimes and anyone who's alive right now that has not tried to bring people together, that purposefully tries to divide others.
That can't denounce white supremacists or hate groups.
Just do it. It's easy.
Nope.
Unless you are kind of one of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, that'll be a great triumph. But then again, if you have the Senate, you still have that kind of power in there. And you still have McConnell.
I feel the need. I wish there was this gigantic red reset button that you could just push and turn everything blue for at least 4 years. And I typically come from the point of view where it's like, look, if you have a divided government, if you have a blue House and a red Senate and a blue or red president, you know, the whole idea is that there's compromise, and out of that compromise, you get the better laws. But that's not what's happening.
No.
It's gridlock worse than I've ever seen, and it's horrible. It's just a war. So I think right now the best way to shake us of that is to go all blue for 4 years at least.
Yeah, because it's gridlock, you know? and it's not necessarily the Democrats' fault. It's just the Republicans have taken this win-or-go-home strategy. So it's either ours or nothing.
Yeah.
And we'll watch it burn before we give any...
Absolutely.
Anything.
Absolutely.
To the left. You know? They're not even left. They're fucking right of center at best.
Absolutely. I mean, other countries look at us like, really? That's liberal?
Right. Oh, so you don't have to pay for a Band-Aid. Okay. Yeah, we're fucking liberal scum.
That's great.
It has become so askew, and you hear these ads on TV saying, the radical left. Whoa, you're the ones giving to farmers. You're the ones that are subsidizing everything that your voter wants. But when you want not to be sick, you're the fucking radical left.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking done with it.
Either they're all everybody's socialist or nobody's socialist.
Right!
Can't define socialism.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous. So, yeah, we're going to learn a lot. And if everything, imagine this, Brandon. You know, there's a possibility that Trump could win.
Yeah.
The Senate could remain red.
Yeah.
And I think we came up with a pretty good agreement if that happens. Remember?
I do.
So what's going to happen is that I'm going to shoot you first.
Okay.
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 Okay. To kill you.
Okay.
And then I'll kill myself. And then we won't have to live with another 4 years.
So,
does that sound like a good deal?
Homicide-suicide pact?
Absolutely. It's a pack. Okay. Sound good? Right. Yeah. Yeah. It has to go that way, though. All right? It has to go that way.
Wait a minute.
You do trust me, right?
Well, how do I know? Like...
You won't. It's trust.
Yeah, but you also sedated me last week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But you were being kind of vitrolic.
No, you proceeded as vitrolic. It wasn't vitrolic. I was actually calling out people who should be called out because they, you know.
Brandon.
God. What?
Chill the fuck out.
Jeez, I'm just tense, all right, man?
It's election night. It's election night.
And you're talking about fucking shooting me.
I'm just looking at worst case scenario. Yeah, it was funny, well, though.
How about I shoot you first?
No, that's not what we agreed to.
I didn't agree to shit.
You said we made a pact. You said pact. P-A-C-T, pact.
I said pact, but I didn't say I agree to pact. Oh, fuck.
It kind of reminds me.
Oh, fuck. I just did.
You just did.
Oh, that's going
to
get
But what's hilarious, I was talking to a friend of mine at work today who's a Republican, and I said, you know what's interesting? I said, no matter who wins, like, our lives are basically going to be the same. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
And again, I mean, there's things that would change that I'm not going to like. I mean, you know, I'm worried about reproductive rights, and I'm worried about the Affordable Health Care Act. I'm worried about finding the coronavirus. I do think America will be a lot worse off with another 4 years of President Trump, and I think it will affect me and you and our friends and things like that. But I try not to be an alarmist.
What worries me about it is just we won't get progress. We won't get the inclusiveness. We're stepping back, and
right,
we're pushing forward the idea that we are all one, we are all American, and we can come together. That's what's going to get pushed back another 4 years, and those 4 years I think really extend beyond.
It's precious time.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, I still think that America is moving forward overall. It has to because of the demographics of the country and the way younger people feel and the way, you know, more. But going backwards 4 years is one thing. Going back 8 years is a whole other ballgame. We cannot lose a generation of progressive progress. I mean, you just can't do it.
Right. We don't want to have like a whole generation brought up on Trump and to think it's okay to talk to people like that, to think it's okay to demean, to put in the margins people for no reason, whether you're gay, you're a woman, you're a minority, just to push you further to the margins. I thought we would get over that by now, but here we are.
Yep.
Where we have to worry about shit, like shitty things called the Proud Boys.
Yeah. I mean, just to even the fact that they have a large voice and they're a small group, but because of who's in the Oval Office, their voice is a lot louder and they're given more power. And when those people have a bigger voice, that's when they gain followers and they become dangerous.
Yeah. And you may not agree with Biden's tax plan. You may not agree with his foreign policy. But I think we can all agree that if he gets elected, this shit will take a back seat again.
Right. He's not going to listen to a group like QAnon.
Right.
I mean, as the basis for your information.
You're not going to feel like you're being attacked because you disagree with the president or you go, that's not true. You won't have to feel combative against someone who's thinking the way the president is thinking, and you go, no, that's not true.
Right.
You're automatically on the back foot with that. And with Biden, you're not going to have to feel that with anymore, and that's going to help national discourse, and I think that's going to, maybe not, it won't get rid of it, but maybe temper it down to this fever pitch that we already have it at right now because of who is president, or because he even ran. We have it.
Yeah.
And he's running again, and so you see these tempers flare. And maybe Biden can flash his pearly whites and put on the aviator's coat. Hey, let me hit the jukebox.
I like it when he does that. I want that reset button that I was talking about. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going to make that?
I'm going to make it soon.
Cool.
Hopefully. Cool. So I can push it when I wake up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no doubt. No fucking doubt.
It's so weird because, you know, there's not many times in our lives where one day is going to be dramatically different than the next as far as the direction of where this country is going to go. And I see this as more pivotal than even 4 years ago. You know, this is big. Yeah.
Because you can look at 4 years ago was an outlier. It wasn't supposed to happen. So you go, okay, shit, right. 4 years, what the fuck? But this is an affirmation. If Trump wins, it's an affirmation of what happened 4 years ago.
Absolutely. And
it's the U.S. going, yeah, this is what we want. Mm-hmm. This is what this is where we are. This is what we want to happen. And that's scary.
It is.
Or it could flip the other way and go Biden, like, no, fuck that. That was, sorry, guys. Whoa. We're going to walk this back. Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
We're going to get Obama 2.0 up there, or not even 2.0, but, you know, like, he'll listen to Obama. Jesus. Sorry, guys. Whoa. But we'll see.
Yep. All we can do now is sit back and see what happens and learn a little bit tonight about the Electoral College and exit polling and all that fun kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we're going to be on Facebook Live.
And by the time you listen to this, it'll be over.
Yeah. Hey,
yes.
We were on Facebook Live.
But it'll be recorded.
It'll be recorded.
And on the Facebook page for you to see. So hopefully when you jump on, when you watch it, you get something out of it. And, you know, we'll listen to your feedback.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Absolutely. Any feedback, just send to FDRswheelchair@gmail. Or, shit, I got the fucking...
FDRswheelchair@gmail.org.
Right. Yeah, type that in. So our email is FDRswheelchairpodcast@gmail.com. So give any feedback that you have to that email. We're also on Facebook, as you probably guessed, if we're going Facebook Live. We also have Twitter at FDR_wheelchair.
And we do not have TikTok.
We do not have TikTok. No. We're way too old for that.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah, if you're lucky enough to join us in about 20 minutes.
Great.
Otherwise, we had a good time.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed this Minnesota, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little Minnesota. It's not a full episode. We just wanted to do a little history of the voting, talk to the kids, and kind of give a rundown of where we are at this moment in time. This is like a time capsule.
This is a time capsule. And if we're still alive, we'll be here next week.
Yeah. Yep. Dave hasn't shot me. Apparently. Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
I got something for you.
What do you got for me, bud?
Remember how you sedated me last week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, come here, motherfucker!